Hello to everyone. Anna Reed, I heard through the grapevine that she was saying that she didn't want to sit in the middle because I would look at her all the time. So now I know where she's sitting, so I can look at her all the time. She's wondering who told on her. All right, let's take a look, everybody, including Anna, take a look at your Bible. We are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, so you can turn to that. But let me give a little bit of review, first of all, when we looked at Galatians, we spent a good deal of this spring looking at Galatians, and the focus was on being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. So there might have been a conclusion in your mind, oh, this has to do with my personal life, that has to do with me as an individual Christian. I am led by the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. But when we come to chapter 6, we find that there is a corporate aspect to that as well. It is the body that has to do here with this. And so when we look at this, we think in terms of bearing one another's burdens. That's in Galatians chapter 6. Or, loving your neighbor as yourself. All right, so those are all corporate things. So if we come away with a conclusion that walking in the Spirit is just me and God, and I can just live in a cave, then we don't really understand that what God is doing when we walk in the Spirit is He's leading us to a corporate life, that is, with other Christians, with the body of Christ, so that we bear one another's burdens, so that we love our neighbors as ourselves. So that is why we came up with Ephesians 4 as the follow-up to Galatians. Because Ephesians 4 deals with the corporate side of the Christian life. And so it just seemed like a natural way to finish off the spring. All right, so we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. And up to this point, there have been two points that have been made that in relationship to, well, the issue, the basic issue is, how do we show forth Christ to the world? And it's by us as individuals and as a congregation showing Christ likeness. Oh, that's what Jesus is like. No pressure. All right? That's what Jesus is like. Therefore, we as a congregation need to be like Jesus. We need to be doing the things that He did. So Christ likeness. And so two things have been covered as we've gone so far in Ephesians chapter 4. One is our unity in Christ. And it's important to realize that unity is not something that we strive for. It's something that we already have, and therefore we should preserve. All right? That God has united us with Jesus, and therefore with one another. So that unity aspect is an important work of the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with the whole body. And so, you know, which includes the body all over the world, but specifically it's dealing with this congregation or any congregation in their relationship with one another. So we are to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we're told in the first part of this chapter. Well, to preserve something, you have to already have it. All right, and so it's important for us to realize the fact of our unity is that we have been united with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and therefore have been united with one another. So we should walk accordingly. We should preserve that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then the second thing is not only our unity, we've talked about that, but we've also talked about our diversity. That it is important for us to realize that God has given us a variety of gifts. This also is a work of the Holy Spirit. All right, God has given us a variety of gifts given to each of us, and using it, we're to use it for the common good. We're to use it to work with one another. We're to minister to one another. All right, so it's not merely for our own personal glory that we have the whatever gift we have, but it's that we might use it for the common good, that we might use it to understand one another and to help one another. All right, so unity and diversity. We've talked about those two things. Now, today we're going to be focusing on the verses in the center of this, 14 through 16. But let me mention our goal from verse 15. So look at chapter 4, verse 15. And it says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." All right, now this is talking about congregation growing up into being Christ. But at the same time, that involves us as individuals being mature also, that we are Christ-like individuals so that we can have a Christ-like body. We're to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Now, the emphasis here is on a group, on the group, on the congregation, on the body of Christ, becoming like Christ. Something that no individual can do in his own right, because we need each other, all right? And just as there is a diversity of gifts, those all are needed within the body. Well, maybe you have an upfront gift. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have a gift that is back in the kitchen doing service or helping to set up tables or whatever the case may be. You may have a gift that's particularly in the foreground, but you may have something that's very much in the background, but it's just as needed. And it's the way that we reflect Christ-likeness. In verse 13, it refers to the fullness of Christ. So I may represent some aspects of Jesus, and my wife would probably say, yeah, not very much. But on the other hand, we as a body are to reflect the fullness of Christ. People should be able to look at Household of Faith or any other congregation and say, okay, this represents the fullness of Christ. This is what Christ looks like. This is what he had when he was here on earth, is what he was like. All right, and so it's important what each one of us does to contribute to that. So this means that each one of us has to reach the potential that we have in Christ. So that as a group, if we've got all the individuals in the group are immature, then guess what? You're going to have an immature body. But we want each individual to be mature in Christ. And therefore, the body as a corporate entity, as the body of Christ, to be representing Christ as well. So let's look at our passage of the day. If you're taking notes, you can write the word how at the top of your notes. And we're going to be dealing with that, the how to. All right, so we as a congregation and individually are to be like Christ. But that begs the question, your mom may have said to you, why can't you be like your older brother? Which was a real challenge in Jesus' family. But that's what God is saying to us now. Why can't you be like your older brother? Why can't you be like Jesus? Because that's how we show to the world Christ-likeness, is to be like Christ in some way or other. I don't mean that we go around acting omnipotent, but we do show forth love. And the question is, do we demonstrate love as it really is, the love of Jesus? All right, now, let me suggest that you write, if you're taking notes, just write how at the top of the page, because we're going to be getting to that. Now, verse 15 tells us the how-to in simple terms. It says, grow up. Okay, I've made it into a command. It's actually a statement of fact, but at any rate, that's what we're supposed to do, is grow up. All right, so if your dad was saying to you when you were 10 years old, you need to grow up, well, Jesus is saying the same thing. You need to grow up. because we need to reflect individually and as a congregation what it means to be like Christ. All right, and so it involves growing up. So let's look at an outline of this. In verse 14, it says, we are no longer to be like children. But verse 15, we are to grow up. All right, there you have the outline for this passage, verses 14 through 16. And so let's first of all talk about giving up childish behavior. All right, because we're told we're no longer to act like children. And Paul lists four types of childish behavior here, and it is compared to being caught up in the crashing waves and the blowing winds of the sea. So look at this, verse 14. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Now, speaking of deceitful scheming, there was once when I was in college, I was home for the Christmas holiday, and my dad had gotten a boat, a small boat, and he desperately wanted to go out during the Christmas holiday in northern Oklahoma, just south of the North Pole. And he wanted to try out this boat, and he needed, you know, some dumb person to help him. So I was chosen, being the oldest boy in the family. And so we went out there, and I looked at the lake and the ice around the edge of it. And so we launched this boat, that is me, wrapped around the mast, my dad sitting in the cockpit trying to figure out how this thing works. All right, so first of all, we start going down with the wind behind us, so down the lake. And the wind was behind us. You know what happens when the wind blows against a sail? The front goes underwater. And so guess who was wrapped around the mast? So I got, about 2 inches of cold water in my drawers as we were going down the lake. And then my dad decided we needed to get back to where we started because that's where the truck was that was pulling, that we'd load the boat in. However, that meant turning into the wind, and so we ended up with a crosswind that was blowing. And so we did this 2 or 3 times and almost turned the boat over. So just imagine 2 guys out in the middle of an ice-cold lake around Christmas time. Did I mention it's in northern Oklahoma? Did I mention that that's close to the North Pole? So at any rate, here I was, and we finally gave up on that because it was bad enough as I was sitting there in my wet, cold clothes. And so we just went to the shore, and my dad had me jog back to get the truck and drive. I went a mile or two up the shore, and that was okay because I was pretty cold, so I jogged. It warmed me up. Okay, so at any rate, the long and story of that is that I learned that there is a particular issue at hand here. That crashing waves and being tossed about by the wind can be a real thing. So here I was being blown about by every wind and by every wave, and I'm sure it was a scheme by my dad. I should have said, Dad, why can't you wait until summer, June, July? But no, he had to go and try out this boat, and I had to go with him. All right, so Christians can also be tossed by waves and winds, metaphorically speaking. All right, so we see this as the behavior of individuals and congregations who are followers of the latest spiritual fad. Do you remember the one where it talks about laughing in the spirit? That was a thing for a little while. Following the latest doctrinal hobby horse, the Lord is coming back this year. He didn't come back last year, so he must be coming back this year. And next year, I'll tell you that it was going to be this year. All right, so that's the latest spiritual fad. or seeking wealth as if it was some sort of spiritual blessing. You know, and so we're focused on that. Or we're following the latest guru before he gets convicted of fraud or runs off with the church secretary. All right, so you have all of these different things going on that are marks of immaturity. But we are told to grow up. And so that's what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to set aside these childish behaviors that may make life more exciting, but we're to grow up, which means doing the opposite of childish behavior. Now, it doesn't list specifically what the opposite of childish behavior is. It just says that we're to be like Christ. That's the opposite of childish behavior, Christ-likeness. All right, so what is that? Well, it's to have a firm biblical and doctrinal foundation based on the Word of God, to look up the scriptures thoroughly and completely, not to take a dab here and a dab there and say, oh, well, that fits my strange theology. And instead, what we're supposed to do is look at specific things that are going to help us grow up. All right, so in verse 15, it talks about growing up. But all of the grown-up behavior is summarized with this statement, to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. All right, so what's the opposite of all of these immature things, the waves and the winds? To be like Christ. All right, and so that is the measure of what we are to do. So just like your mom may have said, why can't you be like your elder brother? Well, that becomes the question for us. Why can't we be like the older brother, that is Jesus? All right, so now at the beginning I had you write down the word how. And so now what we're going to be looking at is the how-to. And this passage deals with two things that are the how-tos. Verse 15. To speak the truth in love. And verse 16, we are to allow each joint of the body to have its full effect so that it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Oh, you mean the body is supposed to build itself up? I don't want to leave out the work of the Holy Spirit within us. But we have God has set it up so that we have a certain dependency on one another in order to grow, in order to become more mature. It causes the growth of the body. What? The joints do. All right, now, let's first of all look at verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Now, the usual word for speaking is the word lego. As in the next chapter, Ephesians 5:12, it says, but it is disgraceful even to speak of the things that are done by them in secret. Okay, but how in this passage, in Ephesians 4:15, it says, it uses the word eletheuo. All right, so it's not your usual word for speak. And according to Vines, it signifies to deal faithfully or truly with anyone. So it has to do with our behavior, not just our voice, not just the things that we say. In fact, it is derived from the word aletheia, which means truth. All right, so it can be translated rather awkwardly as truthing. We are to truth one another. All right, and for this reason, the NET Bible translates the passage, but practicing the truth in love. We will be in all things grow up into Christ. In other words, the emphasis is on our behavior toward one another, not just our words toward one another. Yes, it includes our words, but it has to do with our behavior toward one another, such as we are exhorted to do in verses 1 through 3 of the same chapter, where it says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those are to be our motions, our actions. That's what it means to truth one another, to be involved in the lives of one another with humility, with gentleness, with tolerance, and preserving the unity of the Spirit. So we need to practice truthing one another, which is by our words and, above all, by our behavior toward one another. So practicing the truth with one another, as the NET Bible says. That's step one. All right, you want to become like Christ as an individual or congregation? Then one is that we are to practice the truth with one another in the things that we say and in the things that we do, our life. We are to do it in love, but we are to truth one another. We're to practice the truth with one another. All right, so now the second thing, not only are we to speak the truth in love, but it's a joint effort, verse 16. It's a joint effort, and this is step two of the how-to. All right, note in verse 16 that we are being, quote, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Now, in the body, if you know the Lord, you're a member. You're a part. But you are not a joint, which had a whole different meaning in the 1960s. But you aren't a joint, but you are an individual member or individual part, joined together with the other individual points by this joint. So think of it this way. You've got your upper arm, that's a part, a joint, or, you know, a part. And you've got your lower arm, that's another part. But then you have a joint in between that makes it workable. And if that joint doesn't work properly, then, you know, you basically have a hand that's just flopping there. All right, let me shake hands with you. All right, it doesn't work right unless the joint is working. In other words, the joint is where the parts are joined together. So if your idea of Christianity is I'm just going to go out alone and live in a cave, that isn't what biblical Christianity is all about. It's about our what we do with one another, the parts, and then the joint that connects us. It's what every joint supplies. All right. So think of it this way. Joints are very important to the physical body. You know, if I didn't have a joint, then my arm would just be like that. My legs, I'd be walking like a penguin or something like that. All right, but the joints are very important to the physical body, but they are critical to the body of Christ. And that's why it was really a downer in the sense during the COVID where we were isolated from one another, maybe sitting at our computer watching what was happening up here. And therefore, how can you develop relationships with the other parts of the body? How can you get the joints working if all you're doing is watching on TV? And you might find somebody more interesting to watch than me, you know. And therefore, we aren't even being joined to the body even remotely. That's why it's important and why our church got back together as soon as we thought we could, because we felt like it was important for the joints to be able to work. So, in verse 16, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. All right, so that's the way we grow, not only by speaking the truth in love, but by being connected part to part through the joints that he makes a point of here. Not just by every member supplying what he has, but lest you think that individually you're unimportant, I want you to notice here it says, according to the proper working of each individual part. So it's important that each individual part, like the lower arm and the upper arm, work as they should. But it's also important that the joints be working in proper way. It's what every joint supplies that makes the body grow as it should, rather than to be useless. So, in conclusion, let me put it this way. The question is, are you making other parts useful or useless by what you supply as a joint with another, joining with another person? That's key. All right, so what you contribute in terms of your gifts and abilities is critical to the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All right, and so if we all had caves around the city and we just all went and lived in our caves individually, then the body wouldn't grow and there wouldn't be any Christ-likeness. So, no effective parts, no growth. No joints where we combine, no growth. No growth, we remain children and are not like Christ. And Christ's likeness is our testimony to the world. So it is important for us as individual parts to be able to develop the maturity and the growth for us ourselves as an individual. But it is also important for us to join, joint to joint, so to speak, so that we build one another up. And how do we do that? By speaking the truth in love, not just with our mouth, but also with our actions, that we are demonstrating the truth as well as speaking the truth. All right, that's all I have to say for today. Yeah, Ellis? Yeah, we need to be connected. And it's not enough to text one another once in a while, although that can be helpful. We had a few years ago when Anna's folks were living down at the center, then we had a family reunion, and we had one table where all the old people were sitting, and they were all talking to one another and what you would expect. And at the other table you had the teens, and all the teens had their telephones out and they were texting, probably not to one another, or they were looking up the news or whatever, And so we have to be careful that we don't think of ourselves as disconnected from other people. We need to be connected in more ways than just, okay, we sat in the same audience on Sunday morning. So I think it's important that we greet one another, that we talk to one another, that once everybody says, oh, I'm doing fine, which, of course, is the standard answer, then you say, okay, now that we've got that out of the way, how are you really doing? And to be able to get down to the nitty-gritty, not only about physical health, but also about spiritual things and what we can be praying for these other people, and maybe even giving some advice. But the advice ought to be the last thing. The first thing ought to be, how can I pray for you? Rather than, well, I have three pieces of advice. And that can often just be have you ever had a prayer meeting where it was mostly somebody gives a prayer request and others give three reasons why you ought to do this or that? And so eventually in the last 15 minutes you get around to praying, which shows to me that prayer is not a very high priority in those situations. And it needs to be our highest priority if we believe that God actually hears and does something. So it's important for us to be able to do that. That's critical for us to do. All right, so we are to be connected with one another, like joint to joint, parts to parts, so that we can grow to be like Christ. All right, I'll turn it back over to Dwight for a final song, but let me close us in prayer first. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk according to the way that you want us to walk. We're united to